You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Almighty God, would you make your Son, Jesus Christ, present to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I commend the book of Job to you. It's a hard story, but it is raw and honest. And it really stares down the question, where is God in my suffering? The Bible has room for that essential question. We're going to focus on our reading from Job 42, but before we jump into the last chapter of that book, we have to sit in that whole story for a minute. So to go back to chapter 1, verse 1, the narrator of Job tells us, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." And then we as readers get a view that the characters in the book do not get. Job definitely does not get this view of the story. The scene takes place in the heavenly courts, and we see God have a conversation with Satan, literally the adversary in this book. The adversary explains he's been roaming around the earth, being adversarial among earth, stealing, killing, destroying, these things that the enemy does. He accuses Job of only fearing God because God has blessed him. And Job is wealthy and has a great family. And God allows the adversary to bring evil on Job's life, while God also gives the adversary boundaries. He said, "Do not touch his life. You must spare his life." So Job responds to the loss of property and family and children, and he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He did not curse God, like the adversary said he would do. And then when he became miserably physically ill, even Job's wife said, "This is too much. Give up the faith act. Curse God and die." And Job responded, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" Job continued to worship God, testifying that God is good regardless of what happens in life. And then Job sits and mourns for weeks. His friends come and sit silently with him for a week. And then in chapters 3 through 37, they wrestle with Job's suffering. We often hear people say, "She has the patience of Job," talking about someone who really has been through it. But Job's patience was fraught. He wails and laments and complains, and he's so miserable he wants to die. He knows that this is too much suffering to bear. "What strength do I have that I should still hope?" he says. "What prospects that I should be patient? Do I have any power to help myself now that success has been driven from me?" Job's trouble makes him question how God relates to him. He's in such darkness that he does not believe God will pay him any attention, much less show up with any answers. He asks if God is a bully. He feels like he cannot trust God to be good and act in goodness towards him. Do you hear his honesty? He wails, "I am hurting. Can I trust God?" He was miserable, and his faith was also painful. And all this time, Job's friends are there. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and then Elihu comes later. And they start talking, trying to explain Job's suffering, giving him advice. And it's really terrible. They say extremely unhelpful things. And you know, the worst part is, it's all spiritual talk. They go straight to the theology they know. And they say things like, "You should probably confess some secret sin so that God will stop punishing you." or you should probably pray more. Don't question God. They were very uncomfortable with Job's doubt. A hurting friend just 2 weeks ago told me, Southerners sometimes say the most unhelpful things to someone who's in the hospital. I understand. We're uncomfortable with suffering, and we want to say something to make it better, but often it just doesn't work like that. Life and the curse of sin over this world brings bigger problems than "you'll be better soon" can heal. You know this. Many of us are here today having lost a friend this week, or dealing with strained or broken relationships in your family, or with a terrible diagnosis, a struggling child, or shackled with anxiety, feeling more alone than you ever thought possible. What feels like too much in your life right now? I want you to consider, how is that affecting the way you think about God? How does it affect how you think about how God relates to you? This really matters. Both the adversary and Job's friends had a very small picture of God. Each of them acted out of what they believed about God. That's why the adversary tested Job. They said, he's going to curse you when he doesn't feel blessed anymore. And that's why his friends talked the way they did and gave the advice that they did, because that's what they knew. They were acting out of what they knew about God. Ivan Park writes simply, distorted thoughts about God do harm. So Job keeps wrestling, and his friends keep theologizing. And then the Lord spoke to Job out of a storm. In chapters 38, 39, 40, and 41, God speaks. And it's dramatic. It's a little sassy. It's very powerful. And gives Job no explanation to his suffering. God peppers Job with questions. In chapter 38, God says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? And when I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, 'This far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt.'" God shows up, and God shows Job who God is. And that's where our text picks up. Chapter 42, in verse 1, Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job worships God. "I repent in dust and ashes." Turning to God in a posture of surrender, knowing God is God and he is not. And Job stops asking for an explanation for his suffering. He stops talking at this point. He has not been healed, yet Job is satisfied. And why? Because he saw God. He honestly encountered the living God in the midst of his pain. God is real, personal, powerful, present, and good. And this is what Job experienced. And that sustained him. It was enough. Knowing about God does not sustain us in life, and especially not in suffering. Job personally, relationally encountered God and then was satisfied long before anything changed in his circumstances. God wants us to experience his presence. That's why he came to earth. God does not want to remain an idea in our heads. God wants us to live by his life, to fellowship with him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even while God always remains more than we can ever comprehend. Job was satisfied because he saw God, not because he got any answers. Do you know God like that? Do you dare ask to see him? Why might you be fearful to see who God really is? I think of Bartimaeus's boldness in our Mark 10 text. Being a blind beggar, he wasn't one to receive any honor or respect. His suffering left him vulnerable and needy and unable to contribute to society, likely even seen as cursed, pitied, pitiful. He knew something of Jesus' character. See, he calls Jesus by name, knowing him as Messiah. The people around him did not, though they saw Jesus physically. Bartimaeus could not see him, but he knew him, and because he knew Jesus was merciful, he begged him to show up and show him mercy. The crowds told Bartimaeus to shush, because they didn't know Jesus. They're like Job's friends, and their theology hurt the sufferer. He doesn't pay attention to people like you. Something is wrong with you, so you better clean it up so God will look at you. But in the words of one of my eighth grade friends, he's not like that. Jesus came to Bartimaeus and held his need with care and healing. Bartimaeus was honest. Job was honest. Bartimaeus said, "I need help." Job said, "I'm in so much pain, I don't want to be here. Can I even trust you, God?" And God didn't necessarily give answers. That's not what he's most concerned with, what he knows we need. God gave both Bartimaeus and Job himself. God sustains you with his person, not with answers or even theology. He breathed the breath of life into you. He knows your frame. He loves you. Knowing God is the greatest and most essential, most profitable quest. Ask to see God. Lay your heart out before him and hold nothing back. In the words of Job, "I will argue my ways to his face." Because Job knows, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." Where do we see God? We see him in Scripture, where we have centuries of his relationship with people recorded. We read about the ways that God has acted in history and know his character. We see God in each other. That's why we gather, to remind each other who God is and to experience God in the ways that he's gifted each of us as his life flows through us. We see God in the worship service. We confess sin, receive forgiveness, have peace with God and each other, and fellowship at his table because he made the way for us to do so apart from our works. We see God most clearly in Jesus Christ, his Son, who came as the very revelation of the Father. We see God on the cross, where he gave himself for the life of the world. The cross is where God's character is most clear. God is just and merciful and desires to bring us to himself. He bore our shame and rose from the dead that we might be saved by his life. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.